bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. The Week in Technology, discussed by a fantastic panel. It's the Big Show. Yes, we're here, and you're there, and you're listening and watching. And we're going to talk everything that went on in tech, including Marissa Meyer having pizza Simon Toon. There we go. Joining me, great panel. Stalwart, top left. And hello. It's not true that his water has stalled. James, how you doing, mate?
No, hasn't stalled. Although I have nearly fallen over several times on the icy pavements. The council do a brilliant job making sure the cars can go on the roads, but us pedestrians, outrageous.
I was going to ask if Luton was passable.
It never will be passable.
I gather as well, you're no longer, you said this morning you're having to drive yourself to work. No limo anymore.
No stretch limo. I had to get rid of my private driver. Well, I say private driver, the driver I shared with a number of travellers to Luton Airport. Jumped on. You know, they let me go on and I waved at the passers-by slipping over on the ice. Can't do that anymore.
Life on the edge.
Absolutely.
Good man. Got a great pick for us lined up as well. Next to him, joining us from London, snowed in, chairman of the London Mac User Group, Mr. Steve Neighbour.
I think Islington Council spent about £14 million on grit and they put it all down in the last 2 days. There's grit everywhere here.
Really?
Oh, it's grit on my...
I heard a similar thing, but it wasn't grit.
Sorry?
You dropped out there, mate. You dropped out.
No, it's gone mad. It's they've got grit on the pavements, grit on... They put down little piles of grit, kind of 2 foot piles of grit every by 30 metres on the pavement.
Well, and the residents just spread it themselves, or they figure the obs are going to kick it all through the streets?
No, they spread it on the paths... But the residents then start putting it into their, their paths and steps and stuff. It's ridiculous.
This is Great Gritton.
Yeah, it's mad.
Gritton, very good. I love how your cheeks are the same colour as your earphones, mate.
It's because I'm drinking.
Good lad.
Oh, no.
Drinking and figuring out how to tell the wife you bought some Poncy trainers.
Don't mention that. She's out tonight.
Next to him, it's Paul W. Paul Wheatley. How you doing, mate? From the Gamer Show, the iOS Show, and the Web Show that will come back some point.
At some point, yeah. When I've got less things to do with my time. But yeah, no, I'm good. I snowed in. I hear you guys talking about all your snow. Well, you've got nothing on Scotland, frankly. So there you go.
Are you literally up to the door then?
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday I couldn't get to work because the snow was heaped up that high. There's the road that I take to work, the snow is actually heaped up past the bottom of my, the window in the car.
Oh, bloody hell.
On the side, on either side. So yeah, I actually literally am. Yesterday and today hasn't been too bad, but apparently it's going to get bad tomorrow. Schools were closed. But there's a school just across the road from my house my daughter goes to, and that school was partially closed on Monday and Tuesday because teachers and buses and things like that couldn't get.
I've got to say, that, I mean, that I can cope with, but I have been sick and tired of bloody Canadians. Every time I say it's a bit parky or it's a bit cold, they come back with some tweet about what it is over in Ottawa or Montreal or wherever. So EUC webmaster says, ha ha, we've got minus 23 degrees with minus 33 degrees wind chill in Ottawa. There you go. So I tweeted back, your cat is definitely blacker, mate. Don't come in here throwing your weather around. It ain't your weather, it's nature's weather, all right? Yeah? And last but by no means least, our Antipodean buddy, Dale Townsend.
Evening. How are we all? We've had a little bit of snow in Swindon as well. So,
are you in Swindon?
In this direction.
I didn't know you were in Swindon.
Yeah, not far from
DHM.
Sister and our friend Dr. Happy Mac.
Oh dear. You have to put some distance between you and him then. He's unbearable this week.
Actually, so I'm in a village on the other side, but definitely quite white up this direction, I must say.
Yeah. The Week in Tech, what's been going on then? Well, apparently they're going to make buildings out of 3D printers. And I don't think they're going to stack them. I think they're going to try and print the buildings. I've just got this vision of a firm that's owned by a group of Malaysians or something like that, where they just put a machine up and it, and then a building appears 3 weeks later after it's finished printing. That'd be cool. If you ordered a Pebble, it's arrived. If you can't get it to work, you're along with millions of others. And last but by no means least, Twitter has invented a video system that plays a 6-second video, and it's called Vine. And you can get it in the App Store, the Vine app. Lovely. And the last one I really do, I'm so chuffed at this. HMV are taking your vouchers, including mine. So I just need to get my ass down to HMV. And I'll go on, Dale, go on.
nothing to say.
Now, what you got to add? Go on. Is this that I told you so? I thought you were going to whip it away and say, no, well, actually, they're not. They're changing their minds tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no, it's just a told you so.
You did say that they were going to come back, so they have come back, and I've now got a voucher that I can use down HMV. Yes.
I was going to add that they may well be taking Jessup's vouchers as well.
Well,
possibly wouldn't get that carried
away. We're going to talk about it on the photo show tomorrow, but there was a little whisper going around this afternoon that Jessup's are going to open stores in HMV. HMV are going to have cameras and they're going to be branded Jessup's. And I can get the idea of HMV selling cameras, but why the hell you'd brand them as Jessup's is beyond me. Because, I mean, it's a defunct brand.
No, it's a defunct brand to you, though, Ewan, but I think it still carries a lot of brand recognition on the high street.
Well, if you ever read of the blog post that I wrote last week when Jessup's collapsed, I mean, the first few comments were kind of questioning whether I was fathered by Beelzebub. But then pretty quickly after that, it started getting into, yep, Jessup's a crap, Jessup's a crap, Jessup's a crap. And the last 25 comments of the 72 that were posted are all, yep, he's right, Jessup's a crap.
I'd be quite happy if HMV started doing the pick and mix that Woolworth used to do.
You think that's where that's the niche market?
Well, that's the bit that we miss.
Well, no, there's a good point there, surely.
I miss the Woolworths bargain bins where you get a record for 10p.
Yeah.
But then again, I am old, like Will Green.
And Ladybird clothing with no with no sizing on it.
Exactly.
Do just a big mashup of all the shops that have left the high street.
Do a mashup?
Yeah, of all the shops that have left the high street.
Mm. Cool.
Blockbuster. Put Blockbuster in HMV.
No, what you need is a game whereby you take all of the people that have got off the high street, like you said, they're like a mashup, and you put two of them together.
Oh, yes.
Peacocks and...
Woolcocks.
Woolcocks. That's what we need.
Blockbusters and Peacocks.
Who didn't get a willy warmer straight block in their head then? cock blocks. Come on, chat room, help out.
So anyway, take them.
What are you going to say, Paul? Was it intelligent?
That was my joke before. You just, somebody else took it because you couldn't hear my audio, I don't think.
I was trying to do a CNA joke, but I couldn't think of one. Yes, I mean, the chat room's got that one as well, yes.
Oh, me. Block cocks, there we go. That's from John Winter, thank you. A bit late.
Well done.
moving on, we're bored with that now. The week in tech. What do you fancy talking about then, fellas? Do you want to talk about it again? James, you wanted to talk about the Firefox OS dev phone. And all of us are sitting here because we've kind of glanced through the story, but I think you're also the same, having even read it properly, thinking, WTF?
Yeah, what? Basically, it's a web browser in a phone format that looks frighteningly like an iPhone on the front. But all it is basically is a bunch of HTML web apps, which is great if... they can create this, if they can code for it, brilliant, absolutely fantastic. And there are absolutely loads of Firefox plugins, aren't they? But is this going to go the same way as, for example, the Chrome OS netbook? It's just like that in phone form. I really don't know. I don't know if they're going to get a foothold against Android and iOS or even RIM, for heaven's sake. But, I mean,
I mean, looking at the spec of this thing, if it's 4 gig of RAM and 512 of... 4 gig of ROM and 512 of RAM, this thing isn't going to be carrying
isn't it?
Exactly. It's not carrying an awful lot of stuff on it. It's got the 1 gig Snapdragon processor on. But this is running web apps purely almost, isn't it? It is Chrome. I think that's the analogy that you said there that's probably close to being correct.
Who's the hardware partner for it? Sorry, I should have read the article, but...
Well, Qualcomm have made the processor... but there's no one listed, as far as I can see in the story, that's the builder of this.
Mm-hmm. So it's Firefox trying to do it themselves, presumably with Qualcomm help.
Well, I mean, they've had someone build it, but it doesn't specify who, which means they're probably... it says they're working with Geeks Phone and Telefonica, but Telefonica aren't in manufacture, as far as I'm aware.
It'll be some generic manufacturer in Taiwan, no doubt, and I've got no idea how they plan to make money out of this or how even to sell it. This doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Huawei, whatever.
Well, the way that they're sort of touting it is in fact they're saying you could develop an app really easily because they're all HTML5 based apps. But all that for me means there's going to be very little curation and you're just going to get a load of fart apps, which we did 2.5 years ago, didn't we?
And how do you encourage developers to write apps for it? How do you monetize it? That's probably the question.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question is in my head, and this is feel free to correct me gladly, but my thought process would be, if any web apps are already written for other platforms, are they going to be fairly translatable?
I would imagine so.
They're going to be HTML5 based. Yeah,
they're all going to be, assuming they've been written in a kind of a responsive fashion, then yeah, they should just work on anything. At the moment, they're written like that so that they can work on Android desktop even. So,
yeah, but what occurs to me, therefore, is surely if you've got, and it will happen soon enough, a proper HTML5 web browser on your proper phone, you'll have a Firefox phone and a load of other stuff you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of they're narrowing themselves. I mean, it might be great, but it might be sort of the Raspberry Pi of phones. It might be a really, because Firefox is well known for being a sort of a foundation, which is open and free and trying to encourage development, and they may actually sort of pitch this as a sort of a £49 phone. I don't know if they make it ridiculously expensive, that is the thing that's going to turn people off it, because you're not going to want to buy it beyond all the other phones
you get. Though, when you take into account the cost of the hardware that goes into that.
True.
I mean, Raspberry Pi, as exciting a thing as that is, it's still a niche product. I just can't see this going down the same road,
unless of course they're sort of harvesting all the old iPhone 3Gs that people are throwing away and using the bits off them, which could be the case.
But I mean, coming back to... go ahead, Paul.
The market that they'd be going for this kind of phone would be your dev markets, your Raspberry Pi users. And are they not going to want something a little bit more meaty in terms of a phone than, you know, the kind of the low specs that's coming out in this? It just doesn't really add up.
And Google apps, I think, are overtaking Firefox apps. You know, you've got great things like Firebug for Firefox, which I was playing with today to do some sort of web analysis. But Chrome's almost got that built in. And some of the things you can do with your Google Chrome, you can play Angry Birds on your Chrome browser, and that's just mad. Mm. Is this operating system going to be as good as... Obviously, it's just been announced. I don't know if it was... Was it announced at CES? I can't remember now. I don't even remember if it was... You see, it was announced between CES and Mobile World Congress, which is kind of a little bit loopy as well. The whole thing bewilders me.
Yeah,
it sounds like a Me Too product.
You know where the company's based who made it?
Go on.
Have a guess what country.
Well, it's the Mozilla Foundation, isn't it?
Which is? What country?
America.
So the States, yeah.
No.
Spain?
It's Mozilla based.
Spain!
Yeah, hence Telefonica's involvement.
Geeks Phone.
That's kind of mean, why on earth are they still not doing a Mobile World Conference, which is in Barcelona?
There's a phone number here. I'm sure we could get them on the fifth line.
Absolutely. Bring them in. See what they can say. I mean, you know, they may blow us away with what they have to say about it.
We've got Manuel from Telefonica on the line, and Jose.
It is Manuel.
Jose from Firefox OS dev team. And all we want to say is, what the... No, I mean, but go back to Dale's point. Where's the money?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
But then again, where was the money? I still have no idea how the Mozilla Foundation actually managed to finance the development of Firefox. That's been in development since Netscape Navigator. Picked it up and driven it. But they've obviously got funding from, is it AOL? Who have they got funding from?
They got a shedload of funding from Google, I recall.
Really?
Yes.
Good heavens.
I think Firefox got money from Google. Thank you. Thank you. Johnny Winter says it exactly the same time as I say it, so...
Well, the Google, I'm going to be found for...
That which says they got the money from the sex trade.
And that's to be picking up the advertising revenue from being linked to sites and so forth in Firefox on a PC.
Kickbacks.
Mm. Yeah, yes. Actually, Johnny Winter has just pointed out, and that's quite right, I forgot about that. It's the Google search box. They get money every time you make a search. In fact, any browser manufacturer gets money every time you do a Google search through the ads.
Good heavens. Right, I'm going to make my own phone. Browser, something. Not really.
The heart browser.
I'm going to, you know that, I don't know if they're still doing it when Microsoft boot up and say, sorry, we shouldn't have given you Internet Explorer. Which browser would you like? I want my one to be in that list. It'll be rubbish. But then again, most of the others were.
Google Heart.
So yes, Firefox phone. Will we ever see it? Who knows?
Steve, anything to add?
I was just going to say, okay, so Firefox phone might come along and fail. But what are the other phones that we need to come along and be good competition for everyone else going on at the moment? The Facebook phone? Are we excited about that?
Oh, yes!
Oh, is that
isn't the cha-cha?
Has that come out of vaporware yet?
It makes sense.
It's rumoured, isn't it?
I thought it was only
a rumour. It's not announced.
I thought it was only a concept idea anyway. Mm.
And the recent changes on the Facebook pages in terms of the way that they...
Oh, the social, the graphy search graph. Yeah. Graph of searching. The searchy graph.
Yeah, searchy graph. That helps your contacts. It's all kind of... What they're doing is basically designing the Facebook OS to be more phone-like, so you can contact people through the OS, as in the web system.
It makes sense. They have every element apart from a browser at the moment. They have every element that you need for a phone. They've got your contacts, they've got your phone numbers, everything like that, a calendar, events, etc.
Isn't it, when they sort of touted to be partnering with Microsoft for Internet Explorer, can you believe it? No, for a lot of the kind of the software work. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it makes sense for that to be the next move. I sort of suspected that was going to be announced last Tuesday when they announced that graph search thing, which to me just seems the only logical use for that's a dating website. But
rumored to be built by HTC.
Okay.
It's not as if they've got anything better to do.
Yeah. Chat room saying, Simon says, I'm waiting for HMV, CNA, and Jessup's phone with a Woolworth search built in.
I like that.
Very good. The megapixel Canon or Nikon cameras are noisy. No, hang on. I'm reading the wrong thing here.
Oh, they're talking about the 42 megapixel camera phone.
Yeah.
What?
The last Symbian phone was launched today, wasn't it? It's the very last Symbian phone, the Nokia 808. Lumia 808.
Oh.
Or Lumia 408 or 404 or 404.
404
error. 404 more like. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
So, James, you're none the wiser about what the wonderful Firefox OS.
I'm very interested to find out whether Mobile World Congress is going to come up with anything kind of as left field as that, because they seem to have stolen a march on it and set a very high bar for the WTF moments.
You see, the thing is as well that makes me think, and it does it every time we start talking about things like cell phones on this show, is how atypical we possibly are, though, in that you know, you walk into a store, my mother walks into a store and some bright salesman points to the Firefox OS, she's got Firefox on at home, oh, you know, and there's an association of the name there straight away, and at £25, plus with a pay-as-you-go contract, this should appeal to her because she knows the name Firefox.
My mum would walk in and say, oh, Firefox. Oh, I've got Firefox. Oh, yes, I like that.
Firefox make phones. I like that.
I got to say, I think Firefox is still largely for the geek community on PCs, so I'm not sure that washes really.
Well, my mother knows what it is, mate. She's 78. My dad's 82 and he knows it. So it's
I have to say, though, that when Mobile World Congress starts, everyone will be there, and there won't be a charger in the place. And they'll be going, my phone's run out of batteries, and I didn't get a bloody charger with it.
What was the story about someone ditching chargers or something this week?
Apparently, if you buy your phone off O2, there's an attempt to prevent the, they say, one Olympic swimming pool's worth of chargers languishing in desk drawers by giving you the option that if you buy a phone, you don't get a charger with it because they all have the micro USB socket on them now, which I think is fair enough, except for the fact that I rely on the extra chargers I've got because I keep bloody losing them.
Yeah, I mean...
leaving them at work or something, you know what I mean?
First ever trial of charger-free phones, 82% of customers took the green option. So if 82% of customers who walked into O2 said, no, it's all right, then I'll keep with what I've got because it fits. So that's the beauty of having a standardisation of charging, definitely.
You see, I think they're steering in the wrong direction. They need to do inductive charging. Now, that is a way we really need to do.
Yeah. How many people here charge their phone off a charger, and how many charge it off a laptop?
Charger.
Bit of both. Well, the problem is that, you see, the wall charger can charge that much more quicklier because USB's only got 100 milliamps of juice, and therefore you can slow charge your phone quite happily on USB. But if you want to get it charged within an hour and a half, you've got to plug it into the...
Well, the 10-watt output on the MacBook does it pretty quick.
Really?
Yeah.
I plug into the laptop at work, but it's plugged in the wall overnight.
Yeah, you see, my phone only charges off the desktop or the laptop. There's a dock for it, and I come home and I stick it in the dock and that's it. But it's not coming off the mains.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't even use a charger at all.
Which is the irony, really, because you plug it into your computer, but you can't get off the music or anything. Well, you can get the music off for using iTunes, but you can't use it as a USB storage device, which Android phones can. Sorry. I still think inductive charging is the way ahead. And isn't it, there are moves afoot to make sort of the whole... I was looking at... I can't remember where the company was now. You'll have to come back to me. I was looking up a company, and they were saying they're part of a sort of a global... with Google to generate a sort of a standardised form of Power 2.0. So I shall have to look it up. Find out what that's all about.
I was disappointed with that with CES, because a couple of years ago it was all about those chargers.
Power Alliance, Matters Alliance, that's it.
The inductive chargers, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely bugger all. This year. Or maybe it was, but it was very, very quiet, or it was very, very samey, but I want that to happen. I think it was 2 years ago, they had a telly set up, and it was hung on the wall, and then you had like your Blu-ray player and whatnot kind of down in that TV unit underneath. Then it had this little box that supposedly was transmitting the power wirelessly, and then all the signals wirelessly and everything like that.
Genius.
And never seen that again. We've seen that once, and I'm assuming it was some kind of magical...
Yeah, CES all over, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this takes me nicely onto the Power Matters Alliance, which is what I was struggling to get to, and there's a reason for that, which I shall come to. And this is the intention of a company to make... not you get mains voltage, but you also get power for your electrical, small electrical devices around your house as well. So a 12-volt line that you can plug something into, or use inductive chargers, rather than having bloody wall warts everywhere. And I think it's a great idea. It's at powermatters.org. And people like Google, Starbucks, Procter & Gamble, the US Department of Energy, and most interestingly, because I was looking them up, AT&T, and we'll come on to that, won't we?
Yeah, they've got a thing bidding for EE. Windrider in the chat room says, of course, don't forget that 12 South have got the Plug Bug World Edition out there, so you can now get a Plug Bug for the UK. They're sending me one to review, and it's it looks really good, because I mean I run around with my MacBook charger open all the time, so as a compensation for that, it looks far better.
I'd buy a wall socket with the 3-pin plug on the front, a little USB plug sockets at the top. You could plug a USB device into straight away into it. That'd be cool.
Can you buy those in England, though?
Oh, I would buy one if they made one. I'm straight on Dragon's Den with that. My idea. You heard it from me first.
Oh, I think you're going to struggle with that one because they've done it already in the States, mate.
Oh, bugger.
Is that just a plug with 3 USB ports in it?
Well, yeah, you plug a normal size plug in, it comes out as mains, but you can also plug individual. Now, you see, now you're thinking laterally. And quite frighteningly, 240 volts across 2 USB cables doesn't sound safe to me.
Yeah, stuff freaking. Have you got matches in your sockets at home, Paul? Pushing, and then
we don't have matches. We don't have.
You don't have sockets. You'd still pee outside, don't you? In the snow.
No, sorry. I was just trying to understand, James. What are you meaning there? Are you just meaning like a plug?
Your wall socket on the wall. Wall socket on the wall. There's got mains plugs on it, so you can plug your kettle in or your or your hi-fi. But also on the top of it is a USB socket that you can actually, rather than having the wall wart hanging off, it actually gives you five volts out of the actual pattern, rather than having to put an ugly, because they're horrible, these devices. Horrible.
Yeah, I see what you mean now. That makes more sense. Thank you.
Thanks.
So
will you buy one?
Hang on, I'm lost. I'm lost now, boys. $5.99. I'm lost now. It doesn't take long. But so are you saying this exists, James, or you're inventing it?
I've invented it. For the show this evening.
Except it already exists in the States.
But that doesn't stop me from inventing it in my mind.
Well, no, it doesn't stop most people from getting a bloody patent on it. So
That's true. I'm going to sign up for my patent now. Excuse me.
I think you're a long way away from that. Considering that when you ask a house if it has any kind of possibility of putting Cat 5 cable in the walls, you get looked at like you're wearing some kind of bizarre mankini or something. I looked at buying like a...
Based on the way that you popped all the way through that, you haven't got Cat 5 all through your house.
No, I don't, no. No, I was looking at a new build a couple of years ago, and we had the opportunity to kind of, you know, you can go in and you can kind of say, I want this kitchen, I want these carpets and stuff. And they hadn't actually started putting the cabling in, so I said, you know, I don't mind paying a little bit extra, but can you put Cat 5 through the house? And they just couldn't even deal with that. Had absolutely no idea what I was referring to. And that was only like maybe 18 months ago.
Good God.
I ended up not buying the house for other reasons, but I've had
Cat 5 through the house for 6 years now. Batwinch says that Ann Summers are single-handedly keeping size C batteries in the mainstream. Which stream? I'm not sure. Maybe it's the stream that creates the yellow snow around balls. And she's got 10 cats in her house, apparently.
$3.99 from Maplin. You can get a main socket with a USB socket, right?
Who's got the link? Who's got the link for that?
It's in the chat room.
Which one?
Oh.
The tool station.
No, Maplin 13-8 socket with built-in USB. Oh, man, I'm going to get one of those. Although it hasn't got a switch on it.
$3.99? That can't be safe.
There you go.
It's fake. Maybe the 13 amp doesn't work. It's actually just a USB with a transformer.
Maybe,
James, your phone would charge far quicker because that's not actually transformed, that USB.
It's just straight up 240 volts.
240
down USB.
Straight in your Android phone, and then we'll see how it goes.
A bit warm.
It's simply hardwired across from the mains plug. Yeah, it should be very quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't lick it. iPlayer. Is apparently being used nearly ridiculous amounts on tablets. It's the premier platform for consumption of iPlayer. Tablets are the way forward, it would seem. No one's going to sit and watch their TV because they're going to watch all their programs on iPlayer.
Or just it's people using the iPlayer. We let our little girl, she's six, go down and watch TV on a Saturday morning by herself. So she goes down and she got a little Virgin box, that TiVo thing that she goes into. And she came up and saw me the other day and said, "Oh, Daddy, I can't find a hole in the wall or whatever." I was thinking, it hasn't been on for weeks or so because I pay attention to whether that program's on or not. And she showed me and she was just happily navigating around the iPlayer. And I was thinking, wow, so a six-year-old who I've never shown the iPlayer to is currently just working the iPlayer without any problem at all.
It is fairly intuitive, isn't it, I suppose? But
also it gives the biggest range of, you know, it's not just what's on right now, or even, you know, even just a couple of years back, it was what you actually set to record, even on the set-top box. It is pretty much the whole week's output that you can watch at any time. It's amazing, really.
What was the whole month, actually, on Virgin?
Good heavens.
You would see Sky launch that Sky Go Next. I think it's £5 a month or something, where you can start downloading shows from Sky now onto the Sky Go application on tablets as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Sky Go on the tablet, and I've got to say, it's my staple. I mean, it sits on my hover bar here now. It's the only thing I use my iPad 3/4.
You have an incoming call from MR.
Mr.P.Wheatley. He's back. No, there's...
That was Telefonica for a minute. Hello, Paul.
Ow. Yeah, no, my hover bar sits there. It's got my iPad 3 on it, and exclusively all it does is play Sky Go. That's it. Don't even do anything else with it. Watch TV, and that's it. I should have thought I could watch iPlayer with it, but...
But don't you get more stuff on... There's a guy in work who's got an iPad, and he's got Sky Go on the iPad, and he's brought a HDMI cable connection for it to plug it into the TV to play stuff from his Sky Go on his iPad onto his telly. Yeah. I said, Lord. Well, don't you get Sky? And he goes, no, you get more stuff on Sky Go than you do on the actual Skybox. Is that right?
There's a lot of stuff on there. You get Anytime as well, so there's tons and tons of stuff that's you can look at Anytime that's not on the Anytime on the Skybox.
So the tablet is better than the Skybox for viewing stuff?
The tablet is... I wouldn't say it's better. It's a different viewing experience at times. There is more.
It's got a lot fewer channels as well. I mean, it's not got anywhere near the range that the Skybox
has. Oh, Christ, no. I mean, entertainment's usually got about 12 shows, but of that, three or four of them are things that you can't actually get.
From MR.
They're things that you can't actually get on the main Skybox, so...
I think the big thing, though, and we'll talk about the chat room, which is what I brought up, is Sky Go Extra now with five quid a month, and you can start to download shows to store on your iPad in the same way as you can also with iPlayer as well. So that's something they've just introduced.
Chat room wants to know what the farting sounds are. They're Paul Wheatley trying to get a connection with a pile of snow up against his yellow snow, up against his window.
Are you trying to communicate with us, Paul?
No, I've got to promise you, it's not that funny because every time it cracks like that, it's straight in my ear.
Oh, man.
It's coming out the right channel.
I see that Sky is now on Freeview as well.
Really? Sky One? No.
I'm sure.
You can probably buy it, can't you? Because you've always been able to do subscribe channels if you had a card.
No way. Sky One on Freeview, question mark now. Question.
Does Sky work with AirPlay? No, it doesn't.
No.
Sky Go does not work with AirPlay, guarantee it.
Yeah, which
so
is
plug it, that means you've got to plug it in.
Yeah, it's got to be a hard connection.
That works quite well in hotels, though, having a HDMI out. Hotels where you can link up to the TVs where they allow you to do it, it actually works really well.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Wheatley.
Hello.
Oh, he's back. There we go.
So I don't know what was happening. There was lots of crackling and popping and stuff.
I don't know. It was my end because Skype crashed on the computer that you're on. So just stick yourself to audio only, maybe. And we'll...
Okay.
You need to get an inside toilet up where you live, mate, and a broadband connection. I now see why Chiz and Sam have to sit in your lounge eating biscuits for the gamer show.
Yeah, well, they actually have a worse connection than I do, so it's...
Chat room's reminding me as well that the bash is on. Sorry, Paul. I forgot.
It's fine.
I read it and I thought I'm going to forget it otherwise. Because you're booked in, aren't you? Is Chiz coming? Sam and Chiz are coming as well.
Yeah, yes. Sam is also bringing his girlfriend, but I believe my wife and his girlfriend are planning on going to Birmingham shopping for the day and then they're going to join us in the evening.
Oh, it's a family day, though. The kids are going
to
be there.
I'm sure it is, yeah. But I think they're quite happy to just join the evening thing.
It's a very sad family day that could be very long for children, but there's a big garden to play and I hope it doesn't piss down. We're going to take the gazebos down there anyway. But it's Saturday the 6th of July. It's a definite. It's a definite, definite, definite. It will not change. It will definitely be there because I've bought the hall already. So we've got a big hall with a big garden, and we just need someone to sponsor us now for food and beer, and we're laughing. So if you want to come, then there's going to be a curry on the night of the 5th at the best curry house in the world. Is it not, Paul?
It is. It's fantastic.
There you go, see? Paul flew all the way from Scotland for a curry at the Kismet, and he said it was the best. So
I went twice when I was down that weekend as well.
You kept that one quiet. but the curry house is there on Friday night. That's booked, so we'll have as many people as they want to show up. They can do up to 200, and then there's going to be the bash all day Saturday. It's going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning and finish at 11 o'clock at night, and just be fun, just talking, drinking, chilling out. There we go.
And shows
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we'll do shows, but we're not doing dial-ins on the show, so there won't be anyone coming, mostly because Walter Orton hasn't got an internet connection to save its life.
Oh, I see.
But we're going to be doing live, and we're going to try and broadcast out, but it might be a bit glitchy. We might not be putting video out. It might just be audio. But we'll record the shows with everyone that bothers to turn up. Someone had a question.
I was going to ask how exactly, being that I've been in Kismet, where exactly are they fitting 200 people?
He's going to open the garden up.
Oh, right, okay. That makes more sense.
He's going to open the garden up and there'll be a buffet available, so.
Cool.
There we go. And if it's only 50 of us, then they'll do us off the menu, but otherwise it's we can get in. But apparently the hotel over the road is pretty solidly booked. Mr. Wheatley, you found 22 quid a night?
Castle Bromwich?
Night, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I tweeted it out.
23 quid.
23 quid still at the minute. There we go.
Yep, I'm going to get in there. I might just book the Friday as well.
Yep, book the Friday as well.
We're in Friday and Saturday night. The Scottish contingent.
Yeah. So there you go. You might want to find somewhere else.
What is it? The Castle Bromwich?
B36 Travel Lodge.
I'm going to have to get my credit card. I might have to pop upstairs in a minute.
20.
Get in there before the chat room.
22, 23
get there
quid.
For you.
So if you want to book a room in and all that kind of stuff, then go ahead. No worries. And it's family friendly. Steve, you'll bring the kids?
Yep.
And the wife?
Yeah.
Ellis would be there anyway because he loved it last year. He really enjoyed last year. Brian would be there making noise as well. And I think the wife's going to show up as well now. She'll definitely come if Carly comes, I think. There you go. And is there a competition again this week? We're going to draw the winner from the 12 South competition tomorrow on the Mac Show, so you'll have to tune in for that if you want to see who's won. But someone has won. I loved all the numbers because everyone that wrote in with a number for how many 12 South products, you can still enter if you want. If you haven't done it yet, you can still enter because it won't be done until tomorrow. But everyone who wrote in with a number put like a little qualification afterwards. It's 12 because this is where I looked and they gave me all the file links where they could find the products and I can't find any more, so I must be right. 22 products, says Tooney. We have to wait and see.
To enter by mail.
The official answer tomorrow. It was officially, but yeah, email britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. So there you go. Send the email in and we'll read out a winner tomorrow. Has anyone heard the new David Bowie record? Sorry, we're boring you, Tom. Jesus.
I heard it once. It bored me.
Is there any other stories?
I quite enjoyed the hovercraft DeLorean. That was
What is that about? It's a hovercraft that's dressed up like a DeLorean.
Well, I believe it's a DeLorean that's been turned into a hovercraft, isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because on the 21st of January, it was the 32nd birthday of the DeLorean. Been around. It's from Northern Ireland's finest motor manufacturer.
Only.
Pretty much.
Right up there with shipbuilders.
When are we going to be talking about planes as well, or not?
We can. What would you like to talk about with planes, then?
Well, just the fact that Boeing aren't having a particularly good time of it at the moment.
Well, wasn't it a fault? Didn't someone get blamed for that, though? It wasn't the Dreamliner's fault or something, the last one.
Yeah, it was a part in the Dreamliner that was...
lithium batteries, which you can never trust lithium batteries.
But you got to think, these things are tested and tested and tested. And how on earth they slipped through is just... bizarre. I can't work out how somebody's neck is on the line there in a big way.
So what actually happened with this thing then?
The battery caught fire.
But I mean, that would happen to any lithium battery where the outer shell was exposed or broken.
Quite a few of the planes have had fires in the cabin that have caused smoke to go into the cabin.
There was a comment as well that they were saying that it does have the potential to bring the plane down as well.
Mm. Oh, well, they're pretty ferocious fires. Have you seen, if you type YouTube, if you type lithium polymer battery in or lithium polymer fire, and it's not nothing like BBC, it shows you huge eruptions. These things really go off. They're like sodium and water, you know. They're really, really violent reactions.
But all these things should have been tested, though. I mean, all these things would have been tested, and they would have had safeguards put in case those things ever happened.
I don't know what you're going to do to put it out there, because it's the thing's fueled internally, because it's oxygen based, so you can't inject anything to cut the reaction off. If these things, I mean, I think they probably were tested. They're like, yep, it's going to burn the shit out of everything if it goes off. But they were just based on the fact that it wasn't going to. And, you know, lithium polymer, they were talking about banning laptop batteries this week as well, which is just crazy.
I mean, they say that the two things is planes have to succumb to the pretty much the worst conditions of any piece of engineering. They have to, they're 5 miles up at minus 60 degrees centigrade. They're really going to take a battering. And secondly, isn't it something like 10 million parts to a jumbo jet or a Dreamliner? These things have got a vast number of bits to them, many of which, of course, are internal. But structurally, the thing could, the risk of failure of any part of that, the more parts you have, the more risk of failure there is.
I think we should take part in the Thompson competition.
What's Thompson?
it does go back to the age-old adage of why would you buy version one of anything?
That's true, yeah.
Oh, dear me.
To read from Thompson, the travel agent website, here at Thompson, we are incredibly excited about delivery of our brand new 787 Dreamliner planes. To help share our enthusiasm, we've decided to let you choose our first Dreamliner name by Twitter using the hashtag #NameOurPlane.
Crashing.
I cannot wait for some of these entries. Please, Steve, enlighten us.
Smoke.
Name our plane. Right. I'm
Hashtag name our plane. You can either name it after yourself, a partner, or a child, or maybe some smoke-related item. I've put the link into the chat room if anyone would like to name the plane.
Is it made out of? Could they make it out of three parts on a 3D printer? Says Bookery. Oh dear, says Sachs United have bought a shitload of those. Windrider wants to rechristen it the Firebird. iBookery says the Phoenix.
Yeah, I like it.
Stuart, Ring of Fire. Johnny Winter says he wants to call it the Comet. Ooh.
Just reading from the Thompson. We'll pick our top 10 entries and from our local panel judges, including Chris Brown, Managing Director, blah, 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 blah. Todd Help, Vice President of Training and Testing, said, we need all the help we can get with these things.
I've got mine. I know exactly what I'm going to call it. I'll put it in the chat room. There we go. XL5. You've got to be of a certain age to remember that one.
Yeah. I have no idea.
You have no idea what XL5 is?
No.
See, all the old farts have.
I shouldn't have laughed, really, should I?
The Swan Vesta Dreamliner. Oh, dear me.
Oh, it's quite funny.
Thank you, Simon.
So on this website, you then... This was posted in September last year, but if you scroll down, it's got all the comments. So the comments start out quite excitedly about, oh, we're going to name the plane, blah, blah, blah. And then the comments turned.
Oh, dear. They went a bit Starbucks, did they?
I'm waiting for a reply. I'm due to fly on one of these planes in 3 days' time, and I don't feel safe. Next one down. I can't guarantee that it will be safe on this plane.
Dude, some of these are missives.
Stop the name the plane. We want to have make sure we land.
In fact, yes. Hi, Claire. Boeing has reassured us it will do everything possible to assist the FAA in their investigation. Wow. And we'll take every step to assure... They're taking all the steps to assure passengers and Thompson of the 787 safety.
The thing that gets me, though, is the last comment from Pinky says, sadly, I don't have or want a Facebook or Twitter account. I feel like I'm being penalised for not having accounts. Can you keep us all up to date and here, please, too? I'm not the only person that doesn't feel they have a need for social media.
Write it on answers on a postcard, please. That's what they should have done.
Still, yeah.
Television Centre, W12-1HQ, whatever it was.
WC-W1A4WW, was it?
Yeah, that's it.
There we go. W1A4WW. Oh, dear. Fireball XL5, yes, that's what it was.
What is it?
Fireball XL5, Google it, mate.
It wasn't Gerry Anderson, was it?
It was
Gerry Anderson?
It was Gerry Anderson. It was one of the first ones.
I'm old enough, just not English enough.
Oh, well, there we go. If you were English enough, you'd regret it. Be all about cricket bats and fancying young boys.
Oh, right. Geez. That's way before. 1963.
That was
they were year. Still showing it in the 70s.
How old are you, Paul?
Well, I was born in 81.
Oh, Christ, I left school in 81. God, I'm old.
I'm probably the oldest here, I think, actually. That's a bit sad, really.
That's what gets me. I've been sat in an office today looking at a load of women there thinking, gosh, you're really attractive. And they're thinking, but I'm old enough to be your father. Pathetic. Right, this podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're brill. You got to love them. They're absolutely fantastic. If you would like any web services, check them out. See if you like them. Go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com. Use the link through. Sorry, you got something to say, James?
No, no, just clearing my throat. I thought it was on mute.
I thought you were about to burst into song there, mate. The UK2 jingle. Live. No, UK2 have been supporting us for a long, long time. They're going to carry on for a long time more as well. Just check them out. See if you've got anything there that you want. Anything to do with web services, co-location, tons of stuff. And you get loads of discounts. Am I having a midlife crisis, says Stuart in the chat room. Had. Gone, mate. The offer codes are there. You'll get 50% off some things. You get 20% off of the 20% off domain names is just phenomenal. But every time you buy from them using our click through, you're keeping us on the air. You're keeping us supported, and you're making sure that we stay afloat because we can't manage the bandwidth without them. So thanks, UK2. We'd be lost without you. And also voting. It's still time to vote. The voting on the European Podcast Awards does not close until the 31st of January. They've extended it. So you need to please go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, and there's a whole load of icons there. Click on those and vote for each of the shows, and then close it down and open it up again and vote again. Please vote as many times as you possibly can, and we'll try and win this year. Mac Show, when it was Bagel Tech Mac last year, got third, but so close. But we polled more votes than the others, which really pissed me off. So hopefully we can poll shed loads of votes, and then they'll have to take it off us because they'll find out about the Fiona Bruce episode from last week. Right, James, cool things. Can I go and make a cup of tea while you do yours?
Yeah, go for it. The first one is a pass of the week. I've heard on Twitter about this new social game. It's based on Google Maps, and it's called Ingress, www.ingress.com. And it's kind of like one where you take your phone out and it uses a GPS in the phone to locate portals, and you hack portals, and it's goodies and baddies and alien invasions and all this cool stuff. So I got myself, because it's closed beta at the moment, I got myself an invite, logged in, and there's bugger all near me. And there's nothing in Loon, nothing in Watford, nothing within 20 miles of where I am. And what you've got to do, because it's still in beta, it's still very, very new, you've got to take photos of these sort of interesting places and then submit it to them. And then within 3 to 4 weeks, they may actually create this thing. And then there'll be one for the whole bloody town and everyone will be going for it. And it's just, it's quite frustrating. And I think the attraction is fairly limited in it. So I'm not entirely, maybe if you live in London and there's absolutely loads of these around, and I don't know whether it uses kind of like, why can't it sort of get some data from Foursquare or other Google landmarks? I really don't understand why they haven't made it actually usable. So I'm saying that they're going, right, I've done the tutorial. Right, where have I got to go? Hemel Hempstead. In fact, I don't even know if there's one there. But so it's ingress.com. A pass for the time being. It's free, which doesn't matter, because once you get it and you get it on your phone and you see that there's nothing around, unless you're in a major...
But that'll change.
Conurbation. Well, maybe save it for the time being, but there's no point in releasing it and there's nothing to do with it. Oh, I've got another rant coming up.
Hang on. A Sucks in the chat room says, crowdsource maps and attractions. So essentially what you're saying is there is sweet FA with any interest around you.
I live in Luton, I work in Watford.
The journey between the two is the highway to hell.
Pretty much. My second one's a bit of a rant. Beth, somehow before Christmas, that she got one of these vouchers. You get a gift voucher, an iTunes £20 gift vouchers for something like a tenner. So she thought, that's a really good deal because you get twice as much effective money to buy. And she said, have one of these for Christmas. I said, great. And I sort of bought applications. People were mentioning them on the shows and stuff, and I'd download them. And I thought, these things only, the vouchers only last for 6 months, and the credit only lasts for that amount of time. I'm going to have to use this up, and I've got £12.50 left. Now, my mate Simon isn't in the chat room. Has this thing called iChaos-olator on his iPhone.
I've got the hardware version of that, and it's brilliant. The Chaos-olator,
absolutely fantastic, and it's $13.99. So I thought, you know, blow the $12.50, £1.50 on my credit card. That is a cheap app. Clicked buy. It took £14 off my credit card. And I've still got £12.50 voucher. Why did they not use it? What is wrong with them?
Why didn't you? Did you put the code in at the bottom though?
I've got £12.50 credit on my iTunes account.
Oh.
But it still thinks I've got.
Well, if you write a support ticket, they'll surely solve that for you.
I ought to write a stiff letter, Ewan.
A stiff letter, good man.
But actually, in fairness, I'm just going to switch it on. It's great. Let me turn it up a bit because it's got.
They are fun. The hardware version that you get has got a little touchpad on it as well, and it's got a load of little dials that you can change. And
touchpad?
Yeah.
And this is what I made to demonstrate how good it is. I'm just going to pause it, load up what I did, because this is for you, Ewan. Here we go.
Thanks, mate.
Oh, well, stop it now. Here we go.
UK2.net.
UK2.net.
Hey,
well done, James.
On the British Tech Network, the UK2 network jingle done on a Chaos laser. There you go.
Excellent. I'm sure they'll be very pleased.
My other pick was.
Go on then.
I've got one more very quick one. Shall I save it for next week? But I say, no, you can't save this for next week. They Might Be Giants, one of my favourite bands of all time. They started their life doing what's called a dialer song service, which is a Brooklyn telephone number. You would ring it and they would play an answering machine message, which was different every day, either a demo or a full version of one of their songs. And that was back in the early 90s. And I actually did it, made an international phone call from university. And it cost me, like, you know, 50p, which was, you know, a packet of pot noodle back then, to listen. That was my day's food spent listening to a song by They Might Be Giants. Now, they brought it right up to date, and they've got an iOS application free to download. You can, every day, a different song by They Might Be Giants. Just type in They Might Be Giants into the App Store and get They Might Be Giants on your phone. And thanks to my mother-in-law for spotting that one.
Dale was showing it, but now he's not. He's just looking perplexed.
Ah.
That's why I've cut to Dale there if you're watching the video. Never mind.
But yes, tunes, free, great.
Steve, can you remember your pick?
No, not after that. I'm unsure how the heck I'm going to follow that.
He wasn't kidding when he said he could fill 20 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to choose an app, actually. Party Games on iOS. This is a game called Party Doodles. And you can play it on your iPad, and it also links to the Apple TV. And basically, it's a drawing game that you can choose. Christmas? Sorry,
Steve, you did this pick before Christmas for the Big Show quiz.
I think he was. I think he was drunk.
Oh, was he? All right. Okay.
Can I not do it again?
Do it again? No, absolutely. It's like Glimpse, mate. It's worth it.
I could do Plex if you want.
Pete, we've got new listeners since Christmas, so go on, do it again. All right, okay. Carry on.
It's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Twice.
It's good.
It's only been about 4 weeks.
and Christ knows how much alcohol.
The person playing the game has the iPad, they choose their topic, and then they are shown I've got to draw showgirls, shown what to draw, and then they can draw on their iPad what showgirls look like, and everyone else in the room has to guess.
God.
But the good thing about it with the iPad is that it shows what you're drawing on the main TV screen. If you've got
is
an
the
Apple
answer
TV
scribble
to it, sorry,
is the answer scribbling?
No, that looks like a mouse. Yeah, that looks a mouse. That's a mouse with incredibly big hind legs.
I don't think you were sober when you saw Showgirls.
Oh, dude, you should have stepped away from the Showgirls.
Check your finger.
Oh, no! That's what I had to do.
Elizabeth Barclay stuck to the floor. Lovely.
That is actually very good.
Not bad.
I've been practicing over Christmas.
All he does is Showgirls over and over again.
No, it's really good having group games on the iPad because you don't want to take away big bits of kit, board games and stuff like that to play with a group. I play that. However, I'm doing a quiz tomorrow night. I'm hosting a quiz at the church, so I've got this other app. Ooh, it's my soundboard, my quiz. But there's not many good soundboard apps for iOS. If anyone's got one, let me know.
Okay,
that's me done.
There's a programmable one you can get, isn't there? I used to have one that you could program the sounds in. You could put them in as samples.
That's what I want.
I found quite a good one for the Gamer Show Christmas quiz. It was called Sound EFX, E for Echo, F for Foxtrot, X for X-ray.
Right.
That was quite good. But the paid version had much more sounds, but it was like, I don't know, it was 120 or something like that.
Simon in the chat room says, I can't believe they'd let Steve into a church.
Yeah, KASB, Kill All Soundboards, is a very good one. We used that as actually part of our set when we did Jam Folder last year.
Sound FX.
Yeah, and also KASB.
Now, I was walking around whistling Birdass in Your Soul this morning, and I didn't know why.
Now you know.
There's something subliminal gone on there yesterday.
It's another of their songs.
Oh. I love the cassette as well. Embroidered cassette, lovely. Thank you for the link there, Pat Winch. Paul W., what have you got for us?
Well, being that everybody seems to be doing more than one, I'm going to do two too. My first one is the Rain. Hang on, I'm going to put the link in the chat room. The Rain stand for MacBook, and it looks like basically the stand sits your MacBook up at the same level if you've got a cinema display beside it. It's a beautiful piece of design. It's lovely metal, pretty much feels and looks exactly the same as the metal that holds up your cinema display, your iMac or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's got little rubber bits so that your MacBook doesn't get scratched or anything like that. It's a beautiful little thing, and it's lovely design. So,
43 quid.
It's lovely, though.
No, it seems a decent price, because normally that kind of stuff, you really get humped for it.
So. Yeah, no, it's like thick aluminium, the same. I'll try that one again.
Aluminium. You were right the first time, mate.
Same as, as I say, in the back of the iMac and cinema display. It's lovely. So that's my first one. And the second thing is an app called Time Hop. And I tweeted about this earlier on in the week. What it basically is you download the app and you then sign into your Twitter, your Facebook, Foursquare, your Instagram, anything else you happen to have. And basically what it does is every day it sends you an email of everything you've done on that day in history on all those social networks. So for example, 2 days ago, I got an email to tell me that I'd flown to London and back in the day and I had the best steak I'd ever had in a steakhouse in Edinburgh. 3 years ago, 2 days ago, if that makes sense. And 2 days ago. It all of a sudden actually makes sense for Foursquare, because Foursquare never really made sense to me before. And all of a sudden it makes sense, because for a period there, I used Foursquare quite heavily and then realized it was a complete waste of time. But now, 3 years on, I've realized that it's actually...
You wish you hadn't stopped.
I know. So I'm going to start using Foursquare again, so that next year I can see where I was every day. I just think it's quite cool. Time hop.
Regrets? I've had a few. Dale, what have you got for us, sir?
So I'll put a link in the chat room as well. It's an app, so you may have done it before on the show, I'm not sure, but it's called City Mapper. For an Aussie trying to get around London, this is probably the best thing I've come across. Basically, you put in postcode, tube station, railway station, bus stop, physical address, doesn't really matter what you put in and where you want to go, and it will get you from one to the other. And it'll give you all sorts of options. It'll let you walk, cycle, bus, tube, rail, cab. It actually even gives you a time option for a catapult, which is interesting.
Of course,
because that's how often I get across London, is by catapult.
Mate, someone's got to build that.
Exactly. But the nice thing about it is it'll give you the combination of them. So it's not just a tube app or not just a bus app. It'll it'll combine all those things to get you across to where you're going in the fastest way possible. Plus, it gives you a breakdown of what the cost is going to be and a pretty good estimate of what the time's going to be as well. So it's now my go-to app in London for getting around.
Excellent. Let's look at the tube one there. I use the tube app quite a lot, so that's good.
Mm.
Free. I
have tube on it now too. Sorry about
that. Free as well, yes.
Yeah.
Noticed. Excellent. My pick is Dr. Happy Mac has got his own application out. If you listen to the Mac show, you'll know who DHM is. And with a guy named Dan Vesma, they have created Face Wiper. Now, the original thing was called Face Swiper, and it's not. It's Face Wiper. And it's basically a celebrity guessing game. So, effectively, you rub away at an image with your finger. A celebrity appears through the wilderness, and you type their name in. And you do as many as you can, and you score. And it's he's a tight ass kid. He didn't send me a review copy. I've had to pay for it. It's 69p.
Rock hard.
And the other problem,
I know no one.
I've got to say, I've looked at a few people and thought, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
Once you've rubbed away at a few celebrities, you'll get the hang of it.
I don't know how many's in the thing, but I haven't had many repeats, I have to say.
That's the show title there. Once you've rubbed away a few celebrities.
Go on, Steve.
Then I've rubbed my finger on lots of those celebrities and I can't tell who the hell they are.
No.
They all look the same.
Now wash your hands.
Well, the ones that I have got, the only thing I'll say is that there's a review in the chat room that says they've only given him one star, which I think is a bit too harsh. But they've put down that it's if you get the name slightly wrong, then you're knackered. It gives you a negative. If you don't spell them correctly, you're stuffed. And that's the only thing that I thought would be a definite improvement. They're right to say that. But Mike Likes Picks, who's the person who reviewed it, has given it one star. You're a bastard because it's not worth one star. You'd take it down to a 4 instead of a 5, maybe, but that's all. But Dr. Happy Max Face Wiper.
And just to answer Stuart's proposal in the chat room, it's just asking for a porn ripoff. Not that I know, but they can't do that because they're limited by the photos for the agency that they've signed up to. So they can't put porn pictures in there.
Oh.
I believe.
What would you call that? What would be the name of the application if it did porn pictures? And you had to guess the porn star.
Porn Wipe.
Porn Wipe. No, there's got to be something to do with tissues.
Oh, dear.
Surely.
Sticky situation.
Sticky faces. Yeah, moving on.
I love the fact that Johnny in the chat room has just mentioned, if you type Fiona Bruce into iTunes Store, our podcast comes up.
You're joking. In the iTunes Store?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Oh, I've got to
just
do
type
this.
It, type it out into the search box.
He's posted a shortcut there to where he did it, actually. It's got a screenshot.
Fiona Bruce, the Big Show podcast, comes up first, playing along with Fiona Bruce in real time. That's it.
There you go.
Huzzah. Does that count as fame? I don't know.
What?
I don't know. It'll do. We'll be back again next week as normal. If you want to find out who won the 12 South High Rise, then you better tune into the Mac Show tomorrow and we'll have the winner for you there. So if you entered, you can still get an entry in if you're listening to us live on Thursday night. Yes. And we'll be back again next week as normal. There we go. So where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
Oh, the usual places.
SYZYGY.
Scissor G on Twitter, yes, indeed. And Google Plus.
Are you going back to it now?
It amused me that if you look at twitter.com/ Melissa Mayer, which was where I was attempting to find out what had happened in her life, her bio says plus.google.com/plus Marissa Mayer/about. And she last updated her Google Plus last July.
No! Well, she's in Yahoo now, so.
Exactly. Gutted.
See, we've had Raymond. Raymond's put in a last minute entry. Very good. Very good. Mr. Neighbour, where are you, pal?
On the 11th of February, I will be at the London Matt User Group at the Old Explorer Pub in Oxford Circus, London, where we will be having a two-minute challenge for anyone who wants to come up and present an app of any type, whether it's a Mac app or an iOS app, and we'll probably get through about 100 apps or so.
That was loads of fun night, last time.
So come along, if show us your goods.
Oh, God.
Also, Steve Neighbour on Twitter as well.
Good man. I got to say, I did the app thing with you a little while ago, didn't I? London Mac User Group, and that was fun. Everyone trying to best everyone else.
Success, yeah.
Mr. Wheatley, where are you, pal?
You can find me on the Gamer Show, which will be out this coming Sunday, and on the iOS Show, which is the alternate week, so that'll be a week on Sunday. And you can find me on Twitter, which I am Paul Wheatley.
Could you please apologise to Sam and Cheers for me? Because the other day I got when you tweeted out that you'd posted the Gamer Show,
yes!
I tweeted out and put down it's Paul Wheatley and the other two. And I sat there, and it was one of those senior moments where I just thought, I cannot remember their names. And I just ended up typing, and the other two. So please apologise to them.
I'm sure they wouldn't have noticed. Sam started a Twitter account about a month ago now, and he seems to post immediately after every time we record, and that's it. I don't think he checks it. I don't think he follows anyone, and Chiz is just completely allergic to that whole world. So I don't think they'll be even remotely fussed.
I can't believe Chiz sees daylight the way he goes on about gaming, mate.
No, he doesn't. Honestly, when you meet him in the summer, he's almost see-through. He's that pale.
like a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Chiz the jellyfish. There we go. We ought to register that Twitter account. Right. Get on with it, mate. Dale, where are you, pal?
At Dale Townsend on Twitter. And available... Or messages there.
I thought you could say weddings, bar mitzvahs, and
I was almost going to go there, but then decided, yeah, no, that's probably not a good idea.
I'm Ian Rankin. You can get me at Ian Rankin on Twitter, and you can get me on the Big Show, the Mac Show, and the Photo Show. We'll be talking tomorrow about Jessup's going into HMV. Yeah, good move. Have a good weekend. See you all soon. Thanks for listening.